So for the past several weeks, this song has been it's been on my heart, and just a lot of things going on for me and me personally, and even before these things happen. This song called "It Is Well," and if you know it, feel free to sing along with me in your cars there. Hopefully it'll bless you like it's blessed me. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Stay and I
Well, amen. It's good to be back with you today and to come to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. And I want to tell you, as I'm putting this out, don't worry, I'm not going to use all these books. I'm going to only use the Bible this morning to teach us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before we get there, I want to have a time of prayer with you this morning and just ask that you join us in prayer. I've asked that on, each day that the bells would ring here at 12 and that we would play the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That you would join us and we'd join together, and hopefully as it'll spread throughout our community and throughout the nation, that Christians begin to pray for our nation, to pray for healing to take place. As we hear the words about COVID-19 and we hear the news each day, there's always seems like bad news. The only good news is that fewer and fewer people, it seems, are becoming impacted by it. But I want to share it with you today and ask you to join with me in prayer for Miss Martha Perry, Brother Glenn Perry's mother. She has been determined she has COVID-19, and she had actually been eating, and now she is non-responsive. So if you would, if you'd join us in prayer for her. Also for Brandon's grandfather. Had some surgery this week, and he's recovering at home. So if you would pray for him in his time of recovery, just pray the Lord would heal his body. We know there are other prayer requests as well, and we certainly want to lift those up. I want to pray for our missionaries that are scattered around the world, that many are isolated and quarantined right now, not because of some religious beliefs, but because of what's happening with the virus and where they're at and the restrictions they have on them. It's already a time of being separated from family and loved ones and time of isolation. So we certainly want to pray for them, pray for their continued opportunities to build relationships and to share the message of the gospel, but also for us to be that messenger that the Lord's called us to be and saved us to be as well as his ambassador to be proclaiming the good news of the gospel. So if you would, just join me in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today and we thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. And Lord, we come humbly before you today, Lord, to ask that you would be with us this morning, Lord, as the body of Christ, as we gather together. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just open your word to us today, Lord, and give us a clear understanding of a challenge, Lord, to be about the Father's business in proclaiming the glorious good news of the message of the gospel. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would learn how simple and easy that can be, Lord, today, Lord, and we would take this opportunity that we have today and, Lord, in these days that we have so much time and so many others have the time, Lord, that maybe they don't normally set aside, Lord, to maybe to hear the message about you, Lord, and that we would be faithful to proclaim that message. Lord, I do pray that you would be with Mr. Corbin and his recovery. I pray, Lord, for Ms. Perry. Lord, that your will be done there, that you would be glorified through it. I thank you, Lord, that she is our sister in Christ, Lord, and so we commit her into your hands, Lord, for your will to be done. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for the ones that are affected by coronavirus, Lord, their families, Lord. We pray, Lord, knowing there's some pastors and their wives that also have contracted this disease, Lord, and just pray you'd be with them, their congregations. And Lord, I pray for this congregation, thanking you, Lord, for the blessings you have poured out upon us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that most still have their jobs. Lord, they're still working, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the way that they have given sacrificially, Lord, to your house and, Lord, to be a blessing through tithes and offerings, Lord. And we just thank you and just pray now, Lord, your blessing to continue upon them. I pray for our nation, Lord. I pray for our president, Lord, President Trump, and for Vice President Pence and for all those who are in leadership, Lord. Pray for the Senate and the Congress, Lord, to guide them, Lord, direct them, Lord, that they might turn back to you, Lord, that they would do the things necessary, Lord, that would lift up the name of Jesus, but, Lord, also be a blessing to this nation. Lord, that we would have leadership that would have their eyes upon you, Lord, and their hearts committed to you. And, Lord, not to do things, Lord, according to the will of man, desires of man, but, Lord, to be well-pleasing to you. Lord, we pray for a new day and a new dawn in our nation. Lord, that we would be more committed to you, Lord, as believers. Lord, that we would also tell others about you, Lord, that many would come to faith through this time. And Lord, we just pray and commit this time to you now. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to continue in Luke chapter 24 today. And as we come to our story today in Luke chapter 24, we had studied last week for Easter of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to a time now where Luke continues to give evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been studying in 1 Corinthians 15 also where Paul had written, given confirmation of the resurrection. It's the hope that we have as Christians for not only life eternal, but for life victorious here on earth through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that's all centered in the resurrection. And as we come to our story today, I have these books here. I told Brandon about them earlier this week. They're a great resource to use with those who may be seeking or may be contemplating wanting to know the truth about what Christians believe, who it is that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, my pastor, Marshall Fagg, as we were there in Central Asia, they came to visit, and he brought this book, and it's called The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus is one name for it. And the same book, basically, is called And All the Prophets Have Spoken, and so it's going to tie right in with where we're at today on the road to Emmaus. But there's a study guide that comes with that, and so I'll tell you a little bit more about the story of that in just a moment as we connect that together about why I wanted to mention that to you today is ways that we can effectively share the gospel or help disciple someone to take them basically from Genesis to Revelation to give them better understanding about the themes of the Bible, especially when it comes to the scarlet thread of redemption. And so I want to challenge you today to maybe think about that and maybe look at that as a resource and a tool that you can use. But as we begin our study this morning, we're going to be in verse 13 of Luke chapter 24. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reason that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained that they did not know him." And so as Luke has continued to unfold the story here, he's giving a description of those who had been followers of Jesus that have left Jerusalem after the resurrection. You remember that these were primarily Jews at the time, and it was later many of the Gentiles came to faith, and so they too had waited and celebrated the Sabbath and waited until the day after the Sabbath that they could actually leave. And they had heard the news from the women that they had walked with or gotten to know over the years that say that they had gone to the tomb and that Jesus was not there, that he was risen, and that angels had appeared to them and that had told them that he is risen just as he had told them it would be. But you know, it's amazing how sometimes, even as close as we are to those around us that we love, they didn't want to believe this. They couldn't believe this. And we've discussed this a good bit lately, is that none of them may have been there at the time that Lazarus was resurrected from the dead that were confronted with this and we're talking about today. Some of them may have, but these men very possibly were not. They may have heard about that fact that he had been raised from the dead, but they had never seen someone raised from the dead. And so for that reason, they had questioned, they believed. But the other part about it is, I think it's a lot like us. Sometimes we have a perception of what Jesus should look like in our minds or how he should respond in certain situations as we pray and how he should answer our prayer. And so these men seem to have this idea of Jesus that he was going to be the Redeemer, the one who would restore Israel, and what they wanted and what they desired had not happened. And so they had not gotten what they desired and what they wanted, and so they didn't know how to take this and understand this with his death, because you see, as they looked at the scriptures and as they had heard the stories about the Messiah, they looked at the glory and the majesty and the fact that he was going to be one who would redeem Israel, but yet they failed to look at and understand the message of suffering. They failed to understand the message of the cross. They failed to understand the message that he was going to die and that he would rise again on the third day. And you can't blame these men. Even his main apostles, they questioned, they doubted too. They believed in the time of the resurrection in the end times, but they had not understood fully what Jesus was talking about either. So they were in good company. Those that had walked with him, those that had talked with him, those had heard directly from him, that had broken bread with him to eat, as we're going to see in just a moment, they had doubts and they questioned the validity, the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Paul is sharing this with us, Luke is sharing this with us today, he is challenging us to think about, first of all, the resurrection, what it means to us, But also he's challenging us today when we're sharing the gospel with someone, how that can be a stumbling block to some because they don't understand. They've never seen someone raised from the dead. And so how could this possibly be? And so as we see, first of all, the reunion with Jesus is going to take place here. Is that it says that he came alongside them as they were conversing, and that Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained. They did not know him. You know, it's pretty much like with the ladies there in the garden of the tomb, outside the tomb there. They had not fully recognized him to begin with either, but we see, too, a request from Jesus, and Jesus said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" You know, Jesus knew their heart. He knew their thoughts. He knew exactly what they were talking about, but he wanted to hear from their own lips what it was that was troubling them. You know, folks, as we go through such a difficult time with what's taking place around the world now, it's important that we do spend time in prayer daily and regularly each day, to spend time just lifting up our thoughts, our prayers, our concerns, our praises to the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say when we come to him. But isn't it amazing how he's so patient with us that even though he knows our heart's desire and our concerns that we have, he knows what's troubling us, is he still listens patiently and just allows us to unfold the concerns of our hearts to him and before him, and he listens patiently. You know, that's a sign of a loving God that desires fellowship with us, and to hear from us our love for him, our dependency and faith and trust in him, but also the concerns that come about because of the things of this world. And so he asks them that question, and one named Cleopas answers in verse 18. Says, "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see.'" And so as this is being described to Jesus, Cleopas kind of indicts himself a little bit to say, listen, you know, there were those that gave testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. He had been crucified by the Romans, and they questioned him, "Where have you been? You have to be the only person around Jerusalem that's not aware of the fact of what's happened this week, that Jesus was beaten and he was crucified and that he was placed in the tomb. And then when they went to that tomb, the followers of Jesus said that he was not there, and they were told by witness of the angels that he is risen. He is not there." And so they were sharing with him the fact they thought that he was going to redeem Israel, and so they had not received their desire. Folks, when we pray, a lot of times our prayers are not answered in the way that we pray. And a lot of it may be the motive of our heart, as James tells us, that we ask not, or sometimes we ask with the wrong motive. But the other thing, too, is God's perfect will be fulfilled in our lives. We just need to be willing to submit and surrender our lives to his will for us, and the way that he answers prayer according to his perfect will. And so these men are sharing with Jesus, or Cleopas is primarily sharing, and he's telling the account of what's happened here and the fact that they basically have no hope because their hopes have been crushed. Maybe through what's taking place, your business may have suffered, or maybe your income may have taken a hit because of what's happened, because the hours that you're able to work are not able to work at all. And so in some ways you could look at the Lord and think, well, why is it that this is happening to me? But you know, the Lord knows all of our needs, and he provides for us our sufficiency and our daily provision each and every day. We just need to trust him in all things at all times and know that his plans are not like our plans, but his plans are greater than ours. And so Jesus is listening to Cleopas say this, and then the Lord has a sense of humor too. He says in verse 19, what things? He had been at the center of everything that had happened, but yet he says, what things are you referring to, for him to kind of share with him what their conversation had been like. And you know, a lot of times he asks us, without necessarily speaking to us verbally, what's troubling your heart, child? What's the burden of your heart? Through the reading of God's word and through the Holy Spirit, I think the Lord comes to us quite often if we'll just be sensitive to the Spirit to listen and to hear that still small voice and to be prepared to meet with him, as he wants us to share our heart's burdens, our concerns, and the needs that we have. But he also wants to hear, too, that we love him, we praise him, and we worship him as we exalt him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so as he comes here, he gives a reply, and then he gives a rebuke here, too. It says in verse 25, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know, as I was sharing with you earlier, they asked if he was the only stranger in town to not know what had happened. So that comes to the title of this book. And it's connecting the dots from Genesis to Revelation. As if we read here in the scriptures, it says that at this point, Jesus begins to open up the scriptures to them, and he opens their eyes and he opens their hearts, and he gives them understanding to understand what he's teaching them in the scriptures there. And I would say that he probably started in Genesis. Very easily could have started in Genesis chapter 3 there with the first promise of the Redeemer. He was talking of himself and speaking of the things of himself. And as he was going through the scriptures, he probably came to chapter 22 of Genesis. He stopped there for a moment. And he told him about Abraham offering his only begotten son and Isaac there. And that son that he loved, it was a son of promise. And he was willing to offer him there. And then he went on through the stories of the Old Testament. And I feel like surely Psalms 22 and some of the Messianic Psalms, he began to share those with them and open that to their minds and their hearts. But I want to remind you, too, of a story, too, that's similar to this in Luke chapter 16. If you look there, it's about the rich man and Lazarus, and most of you are familiar with the story. There was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen that he ate sumptuously every day and fared sumptuously, it says, and a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, laid at his gate. Well, then they died, and we're told that Lazarus went to a place of torment. And he tells him, speaking of Abraham, he speaks at one point in verse 24 and says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But he says to him, son, remember that you in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those pass from there pass to us. And I want you to listen very carefully. This man knew that it was too late for him. The choice had already been made. He had denied the truth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus speaking, telling this story. And the thing that comes up very next is that he says, well, would you send Lazarus to my brothers? I have five brothers. Would you send him to my father's house that he would tell them and testify, lest they also come to this place of torment? And notice how Abraham responded. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said to him, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Now, Jesus had shared this story before he went to the cross. And he knew he was going to the cross to die and he was going to be resurrected from the dead. And so as he's speaking to these men there who had been followers of Jesus, they did not recognize him. But until he began to open the scriptures, their hearts began to burn within them. And it was only when he broke the bread later that we'll read about that at that point they really recognized him for who he was. And folks, I want to tell you that for our friends and family, many of them may have heard the story of Jesus. but they've never acknowledged him as their Lord and Savior. But the thing that I can promise you is that God's word does not return void. And if you can talk them into studying God's word together, if you can talk them to begin to get into reading God's word and going through a time of discussion of God's word, I promise you that God will plant a seed in their heart and that he will prepare their heart to receive him. And so with that, I challenge you today, is these books are good resources to go alongside the Bible, just to walk alongside the Bible, to read and do a study through the Bible with someone who may be seeking, may be curious, or willing to try to explore to find the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Certainly for a young believer to begin to understand more of tying the story together of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the thing we see here is Jesus told them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And he says that he should have suffered these things and enter into his glory. You see, he's reminding them, you got to teach the whole gospel. You know, these men were a lot like those televangelists today that they're all about health and wealth and prosperity, but they don't teach the whole gospel. They don't want to talk, they won't talk about the glory of God and the blessing of being a child of God, which there is that. But the other part of it is they don't want to talk about the suffering and taking up your cross and denying yourself and following him each and every day. And you see, that's what Jesus is challenging them to listen to and to hear the scriptures. Listen to what the prophets have said. Listen to what the word of God says. You know, as I think about that, as it was described earlier, it described Jesus, and as Cleopas was speaking, he said he says that he was one that was a prophet, mighty indeed in verse 19, and word before God and all the people. So they acknowledged him as a prophet, but yet they had not listened to him to the point where they came to believe. You know, sadly, that was the case with many of the prophets that came, is that many heard, but only a few believed. And for us today, that may be the case as we share the gospel. But every time that we see one rebirth take place, when one comes to faith in Christ, we see a miracle happen and that God has saved someone. And so we need to rejoice in that time with one, and they come to faith one at a time. And so with that, every time we have an opportunity, we need to be sharing the gospel with those around us. And Jesus challenged us to go to the word to do it. You know, we can share our testimony, and that's a great thing to tell about what God has done in our lives personally. It's a great place to start with a friend or a coworker or someone. But let me just say, too, is they can think well or say, well, that's good for you. I'm glad that worked for you, that you believe that. But they have questions or reservations. But it's when they get into the Word of God and God gets into them, is that they begin to be drawn to him and he draws them to himself. You see, it's when we get into the Word of God and we get to know the God of the Word that we draw close to him. And that's what we should be desiring each and every day. And so Jesus is challenging them to hear the word of God and to respond. Now, I don't know about you, but I know we're not supposed to be jealous. We're not supposed to be envious. But could you imagine what a Bible lesson that was as they walked along that 7-mile trip there to Emmaus? And he's unfolding the scriptures, and is the word of God. He's teaching them and telling them the great stories of the great book, the Bible, and telling them of the greatest ever has come or ever will come, and speaking of himself. The thing that stands out to me is that he's not, and there's nothing wrong, we need to teach doctrine. But the main thing I read here is that he was revealing or teaching the things of himself. He was talking about himself and the Lord Jesus Christ to them all along as they walked. And I want to challenge you that as you read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, we see the love letter there of God the Father revealing himself through God the Son and his love for God the Son, and through the power of the Holy Spirit revealing himself to all mankind. And with that, we can see Jesus on every page of the Bible. When we go to open our Bibles and to read it, we don't need to just look at Psalms or Genesis and think this is Old Testament. This is prior to Christ's incarnation, and that like he didn't exist until then, because we know that he was there from the very beginning. But not only that, that we know that the stories of the Bible start and resolve and continue to be about the life, burial, and death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The story of the gospel. And so it says in verse 28 that they recognized Jesus as they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went into some with them, stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You know, the thing that struck me with this is that they had walked with Jesus for a period of time. They had obviously been there when he broke the bread and blessed it to prepare for the meals. He's not talking about the Lord's Supper here. He's talking about a common meal at the end of the day that they were having, as we call here in the South, their supper together. And as the Lord prepared for the meals there to prepare to take it, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he divided it to them. At that very moment, their eyes were open and they understood who he was. And at that moment, he vanished. Now, Jesus didn't leave them completely. He was still there with them, and they would see him again, and he was with them from that point forward, as he is with all believers. But he vanished, and so they saw what had happened. They understood that he was Jesus. He was risen from the dead. They believed, and the first thing they did, even though they had walked 7 miles and it was night, is they jumped up and they ran back to find the apostles and the disciples to tell them that he is indeed alive. He's risen from the dead. And folks, I want to tell you something. If you are worshiping in a church and it's a dead service and a dead church, it's because you don't have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you place your faith and trust in him, it's at that moment that the Lord comes to dwell with you. You want to tell everybody about your salvation. You want to tell everybody about how they can know the Lord Jesus Christ and they can receive that gift of salvation. And I want to tell you, that flame should never burn out in the heart of a Christian. It should be ignited as an eternal fire within our hearts and our lives, each and every day, lived out in a way to proclaim the name of Jesus and to share the word of the gospel through his word with those around us, not just our personal opinions. We can argue and debate with people and give personal opinion, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans. But let me just say this, the word of God does not return void, and when we share the truth of who he is through his word, they cannot argue, they cannot deny, and there's no way they can deny the fact that they can understand who Jesus Christ is, because the word opens up and declares clearly he is the Son of God, that he lived on this earth a sinless life and went to the cross and died for their sin and for your sin and my sin, and that he rose again the third day and defeated sin and death and gives us the hope and the promise of eternal life. That's where our hope is today as Christians. It's not in our government. It's not in the stimulus checks and all these things that have come. Our sufficiency is found in Christ alone. In good times and bad times, we worship him and we celebrate him and we celebrate the fact that he is alive. We don't worship a dead Savior. But with that, too, I want to challenge you today, is it says that they went and they told the others about the things they had seen and they had heard. I want to ask you today, in a time that we hear that roughly only about 4% of all Christians ever share the gospel with anybody, when was the last time that you shared the gospel with someone personally? If it's been a long time, I want you to ask you to join me today in prayer, that the Lord would open our hearts and just give us that fire of the gospel fire to challenge others to know him and to go to them with a heart that's broken for their salvation, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for their souls, and that we might go and willingly, lovingly share the gospel with them, the good news of hope, the good news that they can be saved. That they don't have to fear not only this coronavirus, they don't have to fear anything. Don't have to fear death anymore. There's no more sting to death because it's been defeated, as we studied in our Sunday school lesson this week. And so I want to challenge all of us today to be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we too are going through our daily lives, and it was the things of Jesus' daily life that they had spent time with him as he broke that bread that brought recognition to them, brought to their mind the things of Christ that they knew of him, and it's when he was revealed to them. And I want to tell you, it's in our everyday life that we have the greatest opportunities to reach people with the message of the gospel. This is a great platform in preaching the gospel. It's something that's very important in the spread of the gospel. And with the internet and the ability to be able to reach people beyond even this parking lot and this church, to be able to reach deeper in this community and around the world, it's a great opportunity, a great tool. But I want to tell you, more people are won to the Lord by people sitting down one-on-one with a friend or a co-worker or a neighbor to explain the gospel to them and share with them so that they too might know and worship him as Lord and Savior. So my prayer as we close is that we would be like these men on the road to Emmaus. We may have come here today a little bit discouraged. We may have come here today a little bit down about what's happening in our life. But that we would not be ruled by our feelings, we would not be ruled by emotion, but that we would be ruled by the sovereign domain of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our Savior, as our Master, the one who has redeemed us and purchased us with his life and his life's blood. And so let us pray today and pray that you would just join me in going and telling those about him, for those that are followers of Christ. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to join me as we pray today. And maybe for the first time you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you just want to bow your head and ask him to forgive you of your sin, to save you and to commit your life to him, that he might save you and that you might know him and walk with him and begin a walk with him that would last for eternity. And for those that are believers, I want to say too, what a day it's going to be when we get to heaven and we sit at the feet of Jesus as these men were walking with him and had sat around before as he taught them and was explaining the things of the kingdom of God, as we're there in the kingdom with God himself and he's teaching us the things of himself that we too might exalt him and worship him. And let's go ahead and begin to practice that today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge today to all of us, Lord. Not look to Jesus, Lord, in some way that we put him in a box, Lord, to where he's got to fit the mold that we think he should, to be like we think he should, or to do things the way we would desire. But, Lord, that we would just come to you, humble and broken people, Lord, that we would just humble ourselves before you. Lord, acknowledge our need for forgiveness of our sin. Lord, for those who have never trusted you as Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, that they would humble themselves and just call upon you, Lord, and ask that you would save them, and they would turn from their sin and commit their lives fully to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would begin that journey of faith today, Lord, as you come to dwell within them. Lord, for those that are believers, I pray today, Lord, that you would just give us boldness. Lord, courage to stand and boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ alone is God. There's no other name upon which we can call that we can be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you would just give us that opportunity, Lord, and we would take that opportunity, Lord, to be bold witness ambassadors for Christ. And Lord, ultimately, you would be worshiped and glorified here on earth by your people, Lord. And Lord, for those who come to know you, Lord, through the faith and testimony of the faithful saints. We ask this in Christ's most precious and powerful and holy name. Amen. God bless you. I pray you be safe as you're leaving. Pray you have a great week. And we look forward to seeing you again through next Sunday. Invite others to come. There may be many from other churches that are having online services that are desiring the opportunity just to meet together just as we are today. And so we certainly want to ask if you'd invite all your friends, your neighbors to come and join us. And we'd love to fill this parking lot up with those coming to rejoice in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you and good week.